David McCumber, thank you so much for joining us on Montana Public Radio.
Nora, it's a pleasure as always.
Last week, the Trump administration issued a gag order to several federal agencies like the Environmental Protection Agency and the U.S. Department of Agriculture. And you were moved to write an opinion piece in the Standard called "Attempt to Muzzle Press Won't Stop Exchange of Information." Can you tell me what event triggered you to write that?
Among the things that happened in President Trump's very eventful first week, several agencies were given orders to stop communicating with the press. That seemed to me to be particularly unusual and unwelcome harbinger. We take communicating with the EPA pretty seriously here in Butte because they hold a bunch of the cards that will determine our future here with the Superfund cleanup here. It was very concerning when we heard that suddenly there would be no more interaction.
What was it like to watch the Badlands Twitter account be taken over?
It was surreal, I guess. As it turned out, apparently a former employee, but a federal employee, had taken over the site and was sending unauthorized tweets in defiance of the gag order. And the tweets were little facts about climate change, which was obviously intended as a poke at the Trump administration's removal, for instance, of all climate change information from several federal websites, including the White House website. I think there are a lot of nervous scientists in the administration and outside the administration who were concerned about what the new stance on climate change is going to mean. So here you had this tiny national park sending out defiant tweets about a subject that was clearly taboo to the new administration. And it was really striking.
In your editorial, you mentioned Doug Erickson, who's the transition team spokesperson for EPA. The justification that he gave for employees complying with the gag order was that the EPA wanted to get a handle on everything and make sure that what is going out reflects the priorities of the new administration. But this didn't sit well with you and seemed to be an encroachment on the First Amendment. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
So, I mean, it just seemed like a pretty heavy-handed approach to suddenly just cut off all communication, make it basically against the rules for federal employees to talk to the people they serve through the press. It seemed to me that it was sort of like shooting a mosquito with a shotgun. As I say, it's a disturbing sign of how things are going to go.
You mentioned in your editorial that this newspaper, meaning the Montana Standard, will react to the gag order by redoubling its efforts to report on EPA and Superfund matters. And can you tell us more about what that really means and why that's so relevant to Butte and Silver Bow?
It's important to our readers and to the people in our community that we know what's going on with EPA and with the Superfund process. It's up to us as journalists to find ways of providing that information. We can't just let the fact that there's been a gag order issued stop us from trying to tell people what's going on within this important agency. I made the point that a lot of federal employees will doubtless still communicate because they care about what they're doing and they care about the success of their mission. Obviously, we will be encouraging people who work within the government to talk to us, to provide our readers with some insight and understanding into a very strange time. I ended the piece by saying documents in plain brown envelopes are gratefully accepted. And what I mean is, if people want to leak us information, we want to make that conduit available. And that's no different from any other time. But it becomes all the more important to have people of conscience in the government who believe there's something that people ought to know and who will provide it to people like me, who are journalists. So it's just really important to make sure that there are some lines of communication.
Besides keeping those lines of communication open, are there any other big changes you foresee happening at the Montana Standard or any pivots you're going to make in the way you do your job?
Our job remains the same. Our job is to tell people what's happening in Butte and what's happening that will affect Butte. We're going to be the same as we always are. We're not going to be intimidated by this sort of thing, and we're literally going to work even harder to get the news that our readers want and need.
Well, that's good to hear. Zooming back in to Montana, the legislature is in session currently, and has there been anything happening recently that's attracted your attention?
Well, like the old saying, it's the most dangerous time for the state when the legislature's in session. Actually, there's one bill that caught my attention that was introduced yesterday by Representative Derek Skies from Kalispell, I believe. And it would do away with the office of the Commissioner of Political Practices. That position has been a lightning rod position. There have been a lot of accusations about the partisanship of the current commissioner, Commissioner Modell. But at the same time, he has moved very quickly to eliminate the backlog of complaints and has had a big impact on the political scene in Montana in the last few years. The reason this bill caught my attention is that this office, the Commissioner of Political Practices, is not a new thing. It's been around by statute since 1975, when Governor Tom Judge had a committee formed to look at how political practices should be policed. And that group of people came up with a position that is one of the toughest, most stringent, you know, monitors of political practice in the country. I think as a Montanan, I'm pretty happy that we have that strong political cop, and it seems like a spectacularly bad idea to get rid of that position, particularly if you're going to turf responsibility for investigating complaints about political practices to a couple of elected officials, in this case, the Attorney General and the Secretary of State. That just seems like the fox guarding the hen house, and I think it would be a shame for Montana to take a step backwards, a big step backwards, by eliminating this key position.
So for anyone else who shares your concerns about that, what do you think is the best way to make your voice heard?
Well, I believe there's a hearing at 8 o'clock Friday morning in the House on that bill, and I know that there'll be some people testifying then, including some of the original drafters of the statute.
That's really helpful. Thanks for pointing out that bill to our listeners.
Well, these are certainly interesting political times, both on the state and the national level.
David McCumber, thanks so much for joining us again to share your view and the news from Butte.
My pleasure.
I'm Nora Sachs, Montana Public Radio.